Father, we are grateful again. Thank you for your amazing, deep, deep love for us. Thank you for your mercies, which are new to us every morning. We're thankful for your loving kindnesses towards us. We know they extend from generation to generation. Father, help us to know your love on a deeper, more profound level in our hearts and our minds that would, again, affect the way that we live, that we would bring worship to your name and exalt in who you are. We ask that your Spirit would be at work in us now as we look to your word to instruct us, that would help us to know more about your plan of salvation, the wisdom that you are the source of and provide for us to live by, that we would live according to it. And we ask that you would do that work in us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. For I have given all this to my heart and explain it, that righteous men, wise men, and their service are in the hand of God. Man does not know whether it will be love or hatred. Anything may be before him. It is the same for all. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for the good, for the clean and for the unclean, for the man who offers a sacrifice and for the one who does not offer sacrifice. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who is afraid to swear. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for all. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to the dead. For whoever is joined with all the living, there is confidence. Surely a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Indeed, their love, their hate, and their zeal have already perished, and they will never again have a portion in all that is done under the sun. I've titled this message, Certainty in Life. Do you want to have certainty in life? I think most of us would answer yes. Do you want to have certainty in life and live with certainty throughout your life? Well, Solomon presents to us wisdom in these verses for having certainty in life and for living in light of certainties in life. However, this may not be what you're expecting to hear. However, grasping what Solomon lays out for us here will bring about true hope in the midst of a fallen and fleeting world, especially for those who fear God and fear Him openly, because they know that it will be well for them. Going back to chapter 8, verse 12. With all the injustice, the wickedness, the oppression, the frustrations in life, Solomon draws our attention to life, life as it really is, not so that we would be anxious and be in despair and discouraged, but rather so that each one of us would value life from God and the opportunities afforded to us by God as gifts from Him, that we would enjoy the limited time that we all have here on earth under the sun. Solomon is a wise realist and he understands life. And to summarize what he just stated in chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, it would be this. Life is not going to be fair, and so get used to it. You're not going to know everything. You're not going to be able to explain everything or know why things are happening exactly the way they are. And on top of that, life is short. It's a breath. It's a vapor. It's soon going to be over. It's going to pass quickly, and you will die. But he adds, you need to know all of that in light of who God is. And that's really the key. If you are to focus on what truly matters in life and have confidence in all the chaos that is going on, have contentment in all the confusion, and have calmness and composure in the commotion, you must know God and you must fear Him. Solomon is presenting the reality and nature of life under the sun, which he says is on the earth. And he says that life is vanity. He says that twice in verse 14. Again, it is a vapor, it's a breath, but not only that, it's confusing, it's frustrating, it's enigmatic, it's puzzling for everyone living under the sun. This is true for all mankind. And in those verses, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, Solomon taught us that we can have gladness, we can have joy, we can honor God, even when there is injustice. And even when we don't know and cannot know everything or why things are happening the way they are. And it comes down to understanding who God is. That you're rooted and grounded in who He is. And also understanding who you are in light of who He is. And we saw last week that it all centers around God and having a relationship with Him, thus fearing Him. And in verse 14, we saw that we need to embrace and acknowledge and recognize the comprehensive sovereignty of God over everything. Solomon restates in verse 14, an under the sun reality, again, which he calls vanity. And we don't want to understand vanity as meaning meaningless or meaninglessness or purposelessness. Rather, the term that Solomon uses, which is translated as vanity, he uses to show the purposefully fleeting and temporary and puzzling nature of life. That all of that is within the comprehensive sovereignty of God over all things. And so nothing is ever random with God. It is all under his control, under his rule, moving towards his intended ends. Verse 14, there are righteous men to whom it happens according to the works of the wicked. On the other hand, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the works of the righteous. So how do we understand that in light of God's comprehensive sovereignty over everything? You understand it by acknowledging there will be the wicked who prosper and there will be the righteous who suffer. We live in a fallen, fleeting world under the curse. And so one of the first lessons we should learn about life is this very fact of God's comprehensive sovereignty. And when you recognize that and know, verse 12 again, that it will be well for those who fear God and fear him openly, and also that final justice awaits for the wicked, then you will be free to not to have no concern or righteous concern for all the things that are happening in this world, the injustice, the oppression, the wickedness, but rather to ultimately leave it in the hands of God, knowing that he will take care of it all, that he sees and knows all things, that it is a part of his plan. And so that's the first thing we need to acknowledge, is the comprehensive sovereignty of God. The second is to understand the gifts of God given to us, that are given to us daily. And these gifts are to be enjoyed. And so we see the enjoyment of the gifts of God in verse 15. He says, so I laud gladness, for there's nothing good for man under the sun except to eat and to drink and to be merry. And this will join with him in his labor throughout the days of his life, which God has given him under the sun. And so Solomon lauds, or he commends, or praises gladness or enjoyment of life under the sun. And so are you enjoying the gifts of God that he has given to you and the gift of life itself? God has given you an appointed number of days upon this earth to enjoy. And so we see in verse 15 the enjoyment of the gifts of God. In verses 16 and 17, we see another thing that we need to acknowledge about God, and that's his incomprehensible providence. The incomprehensible providence of God. He says in verse 16 and 17, when I gave my heart to know wisdom and to see the endeavor which has been done on the earth, even though one never sees sleep with his eyes day or night, and I saw every work of God, I concluded that man cannot find out the work which has been done under the sun. Even though man should seek laboriously, he will not find it out. And though the wise man should say, I know, he cannot find it out. And so be content not to know everything. God is God and you're not. You're not omniscient. You're not all-knowing. You're not all-wise. You don't know the beginning from the end. He's in control. And we see here that neither hard work, persistent endeavor, skill or experience, or even wisdom itself, though good, none of that will unravel the mystery of God's providence, his plan, or his purposes. Only God knows truly, entirely, and absolutely. And you can have peace and gladness when you know everything will be taken care of, and you don't have to worry about it. God will take care of it. And that when providence unfolds, it is the very sovereign plan of God that is unfolding. And that should be a comfort to us. And so the question isn't why, when things come our way, but it should be, who is God? And what does God call me to do in response? How does it direct me to respond to this incomprehensible yet good providence that he has placed before me? When your worldview of life is centered and focused on God, the fear of God and his wisdom will make your face shine even though life under the sun is not fair. Chapter 8, verse 1. Even though you don't understand everything or why things are happening the way they are. When you live life seeking to please God, the one who is sovereign, whose providence is incomprehensible, and the gifts that he's given are meant to be enjoyed. When you live life seeking to please God, there will always be joy and enjoyment that comes from him and that is found in him. All that is in the world, we understand, is not neat. It's not tidy. Life is not fair. It is full of injustice and wickedness. And now Solomon will not only look at what is happening, but he will look to the end of life, that it would direct the way that we live our lives in the present. And so in these verses, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, Solomon calls us to embrace the certainties of life under the sun so that we would truly live with hope. And what are these certainties of life that will help us to trust God and to enjoy life? There's four of them here in these verses. In verse 1, or the first half of verse 1, verse 1a, you have the certainty of being in the hand of God. The second half of verse 1, or verse 1b, you have the certainty of not knowing the immediate future. In verses 2 through 5, you have the certainty of death. And in verse 6, you have the certainty of one life to live. So first we'll look at the first half of verse 1. The certainty of being in the hand of God. It says, "For I've given all this to my heart and explain it that righteous men, wise men, and their service are in the hand of God. For I've given all this to my heart." And the word translated given means to set in place, to surrender, to devote, to entrust. In other words, this is a conscious, intentional, deliberate act of the will to choose to believe in God and what His Word says and to live according to His wisdom. This is what Solomon is setting in his heart, devoting in his heart to do. And Solomon says, "For I've given all this to my heart and explain it that righteous men, wise men, and their service are in the hand of God." He's speaking about those who fear God and fear Him openly. There is a general sense in which everyone's life is in the hand of God because He's completely sovereign over the believer and the unbeliever. But there's also a special saving sense in which the lives of the righteous are in the hands of God because they actually recognize that and live with that understanding. And what is all this that Solomon has given his heart to? "For I've given all this to my heart." What is all this? Well, the immediate context would point us back to chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. "Again, when I gave my heart to know wisdom and to see the endeavor which has been done on the earth, even though one never sees sleep with his eyes day or night, and I saw every work of God, I concluded that man cannot find out the work which has been done under the sun. Even though man should seek laboriously, he will not find it out. And though the wise man should say, 'I know,' he cannot find it out." So that's definitely part of what Solomon has given his heart to know. And this would also include everything that Solomon has mentioned that he has given his heart to already in Ecclesiastes, and I'll just go back and mention a couple of them. If you turn back to chapter 8, verse 9, he says, "All this I've seen and given my heart to every work that's been done under the sun, where a man has power over another man to his calamity." Going back to chapter 7, verse 2, "Better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting, because that is the end of that is the end of all mankind, and the living puts this in his heart." And so if you know the reality of injustice and oppression, if you know that death is coming, and if you can't find out how God's incomprehensible providence will unfold in your life, what do you need to know? You need to know with certainty that your life is in the hand of God, who is perfectly righteous and just, who is sovereign over death, and who is all-knowing and all-wise and all-purposeful at all times. In the hand of God carries the idea and portrays the picture of being in God's sovereign control and in His good care. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, that passage that talks about not worrying because your Heavenly Father cares for you and knows what you need, and then talks about seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness. And in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." And 1 Peter is written in the context, again, of increasing and severe persecution of Christians under the Roman Emperor Nero. They need to understand, as Christians going and undergoing that, that they must understand that they are under the mighty hand of God, that they can cast all their anxieties on Him, knowing that God cares. We are in His hand, the hand of a good and gracious and caring and kind God. The certainty of being in the hand of God. And we need to live with that certainty. And this is specifically emphasized in relation to what we'll see next in the second half of verse 1. And secondly, what certainty of life will help us to trust God and to enjoy life? The certainty of not knowing the immediate future. He says in the second half of verse 1, "Man does not know whether it will be love or hatred. Anything may be before him." Solomon just mentioned the righteous and wise who fear God. But now he says righteousness and wisdom have no built-in guarantees for an easy life or for the life that you expect. No one knows what awaits them. He uses love and hatred or you can think of prosperity or adversity. This is speaking about each one of our days under the sun on the earth that is appointed to us in this fallen and fleeting world. Anything may be before us. None of us wakes up thinking we're going to get fired at work. None of us wakes up thinking we're going to get into a major car accident. Anything may be before us. God's sovereignty is fixed, but it is not predictable to us. We cannot guarantee outcomes. You can just think of Job again, who's described in Job 1:1 as blameless, upright, who's fearing God and who turns away from evil. And then what happened? All his cattle, his livestock, his helpers, basically his source for food and clothing and shelter, and his workers were all taken from him. And furthermore, his sons and his daughters, including his firstborn, all died. Anything may be before us. Therefore, we need to live with the certainty of not knowing the immediate future. We are not to preoccupy ourselves with the unknown. That is not our calling. Solomon simply is pointing out that we don't know what the rest of the day holds, or what tomorrow holds, or any other moment or day after that. The certainty of not knowing the immediate future, but the certainty that we are in the hand of God. Next, we have in verses 2 through 5, the certainty of death. It is the same for all. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for the good, for the clean, and for the unclean, for the man who offers a sacrifice and for the one who does not sacrifice. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who is afraid to swear. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for all. Furthermore, the hearts of the Son of Man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to the dead. For whoever is joined with all the living, there is confidence. Surely a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Verse 2, it is the same for all. Yes, this is true. What Solomon just stated in the second half of verse 1, as it relates to not knowing the future, none of us will know the immediate future. But he is connecting that point to what is really the main section of these verses. And that is the certainty of death, which he expands on in verses 2 through 5. The certainty of death is the same for all. Solomon calls it one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for the good, for the clean and the unclean, for the man who offers a sacrifice, for the one who does not sacrifice. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who is afraid to swear. These are contrasts of opposites, which is inclusive of all the in-betweens. In other words, this is the same for all, no matter who you are or how you live your life. Your life will end in death. That is the one fate for all, verse 3, which Solomon states is an evil in all that is done under the sun. He says, this is an evil. This is a misery. This is not how it should be. This is troubling. And to add to this, Solomon says in the second half of verse 3, furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and madness, which is insanity or foolishness, is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to the dead. They are no longer alive. And so why should the mass murderer receive the same as the upright? Why should one whose entire life was rebellion against God have the same fate as the one who lived a life pleasing and honoring to God? And Solomon here is purely considering life under the sun. And he says there's one fate for all, namely physical death. Then he says in verse 4, for whoever is joined with all the living, there is confidence. He's making a comment on a particular group of people whom he calls the living. For whoever is joined with all the living, he says, there is confidence. It could be translated as hope. There's hope. He's saying that even though death is the same fate for all, those who are the living, who verse 5, know they will die, meaning they live in light of death, in the fear of God, they can have confidence and hope of what lies ahead, even in death. But then he also makes a statement about this life and the value of life here on earth under the sun. Verse 4, he says, surely a live dog is better than a dead lion. You have to understand Back then in ancient Israel, dogs were held in contempt. They were considered lowly, despicable. They were despised. Proverbs 26 verse 11 says, like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats its folly. These parallel statements that liken a dog to a fool. And lions were esteemed and admired, considered mighty and exalted. They were revered. Then he says in verse 5, after the living knowing they will die, he says, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. And so Solomon is saying in connection with verse 4, even the lowly and despicable, because they are still alive, are in a better position than those who, like a lion, have died, because there's still opportunity to reckon with the reality of death. It is not too late. If you have breath, it's been said you're sucking in mercy. It is not too late to turn to God and to live your life in the fear of Him and to have eternal life in the hope of heaven. The wages of sin is death. God's holiness and justice and righteousness requires that sin be punished and that the penalty be executed and satisfied fully and completely. Man's heart, it says, is wicked, depraved, sinful by nature, full of madness and evil. And sin separates us from God. And the only way to be reconciled to God is through His one and only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His perfect life of righteousness, His substitutionary atoning death, and His triumphant resurrection from the dead. And that is the good news of the gospel for all who would repent and believe through faith in Jesus Christ and His accomplished work upon the cross. They will be saved. And they will join with all the living and have confidence and hope in this life and in death and in the life to come. They can rest that they are in the hand of God. They can rest in the unfolding providence of God. They can trust Him and His timing and His goodness, being assured of His love for them and His grace towards them. And another statement that Solomon is making here is that life here on earth under the sun is precious. It's valuable. He says, a live dog is better than a dead lion. Seize the day and steward life intentionally and wisely. Time will run out when you will no longer be able to. In verse 5, the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So you have the certainty of death, which should motivate the living to trust God and enjoy each moment. The certainty of death should also provoke the hearts of men who are full of evil and madness, who are still alive, to repent and believe in God, that they may live with a certain hope and have confidence. And so we've seen the certainty of being in the hand of God, the certainty of not knowing the immediate future, the certainty of death. And lastly, we have in verse 6, the certainty of one life to live. He says, indeed, their love, their hate, and their zeal have already perished. And they will never again have a portion in all that is done under the sun. You will never have another opportunity to live under the sun. This is a reference to this earthly life. You will never again have a portion or a share in terms of a contribution in all that is done here on the earth under the sun. And that word portion carries the sense of the part played by a person in bringing about a result. That result always being God's intended ends. But we also play a part, as the church plays a part to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. But it's God's message that saves. We're the instrument and the voice that proclaims that message that saves. So what does that mean for us? It means evangelize now. It means enjoy your friendships and your relationships now. It means make an impact in someone's life now. It means have those difficult conversations now. It means forgive now. It means to work hard now. It could also mean travel now. Enjoy your grandkids now while you have the time. It means enjoy life now before it's too late. Obviously, this is in the fear of God, not contradicting any other parts of Scripture, Because this could be taken as a blank check to just do whatever you want while neglecting your marriage, your family, not being financially responsible, not being a good steward. We do all these in the fear of God. It all ends at death. So live life to the fullest. You've heard the term YOLO, Y-O-L-O, you only live once. And that's very true. There is the certainty of one life to live under the sun. Solomon's focus here is not necessarily on what lies ahead after death in this life, but for us to understand the brevity of life and to maximize living for the good of others and the glory of God here and now while we have breath. And so in these verses, Solomon calls us to embrace the certainties of life under the sun so that we would truly live with hope. And when you understand these certainties, it will alleviate anxiousness and fear and needing to know everything and how everything's coming together. These certainties of the certainty being in the hand of God, knowing that He's completely sovereign, knowing His character and nature, that He's good and loving at all times and kind and gracious. The certainty of not knowing the immediate future. You don't need to preoccupy yourself with what you don't know. Trust in the God who knows. And the certainty of death, which is coming for all of us, that we would live in light of that day, maximize our time here on earth for the glory of God, and the certainty of one life to live. It is certain that we don't know the immediate future and that death is coming. And it's looked it up, it's estimated that 2 people die every second. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Certainty of death. It's also certain that God is in control and we are not. Again, it goes back to who is God and who are you? And do you understand yourself in light of who God is? You can only enjoy God's under the sun gifts in this life. The opportunities and joys of this life will soon pass and will not happen again. And so thank God for each and every day He gives and grants to you, and seize the day for Him. Redeem the time. I'll close with a hymn by Isaac Watts called "Life is the Time to Serve the Lord." It says, "Life is the time to serve the Lord, the time to ensure the great reward. And while the lamp holds out to burn, the vilest sinner may return. Life is the hour that God has given to escape from hell and fly to heaven. The day of grace, and mortals may secure the blessings of the day." So in other words, rest in the comprehensive, meticulous sovereignty of God. Reflect upon the certainty of death and live in light of eternity. There's certainty in life and hope in death for the one who fears God and who trusts in Him. Psalm 116 verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of His holy ones." And Psalm 90 verse 12 again, "So teach us to number our days that we may present to You a heart of wisdom." And so may we give our hearts to know, as Solomon gave his heart to know, that our lives are in the hand of God. That through Christ, death has been defeated and we have a glorious future hope that anticipates and is waiting for us. The inheritance that is ours, kept for us in heaven. And that we are to live all out for Him while we are still alive. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the reminder of the brevity of life, that it is but a breath and a vapor. But also to see and understand everything in relation to You, that life itself is a gift. That all the good things that come our way are gifts from Your hand to us. That You're completely sovereign over it all. That You are the one who is all-knowing and all-powerful. That we can trust in You. That we can absolutely take confidence in Your promises towards us. You are a trustworthy God. And so, Father, as we take hold of and cling to these certainties of life under the sun, here on the earth, may it lead to a greater worship of Your name, a greater enjoyment of Your gifts, a greater ministry and discipling of one another towards Christ-likeness. And may we maximize the time that we have here, not knowing what lies ahead for us, even as we depart from here. And so, Father, help us to be those who would have this urgency about us as we live, though we are to make plans, and it is wise to make plans, that we hold them loosely, and we take advantage of each moment that we have, as moments that we come across, those perhaps in our neighborhood, or perhaps those in our coworkers, those we have thought about of having conversations, but have never really engaged. And so, Father, help us to recognize the limited time that not only we have here on earth, but that they may have according to Your appointed days for them, and to live it all out for You. to boast in you and to make you known. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.